We'd like to welcome you to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Let's take a deeper dive into what it means to be heart leaders. The Heart Leader Podcast starts now. Hi, and welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber, and today I have the distinct honor of being joined by Dr. Rosie Kuhn. She is a fantastic transformative coach that has over 40 years of experience helping individuals in business, in life, and just across the board. She has dedicated herself in such a way that she has actually written 14 books that include everything from how to nourish your body to how to nourish your soul and to really go inside and deeply transform in ways that many of us may not have even considered. And so I'm really looking forward to talking to her about all the ways that we can use creativity in this transformative process. So Dr. Kuhn, thank you so much for joining and being here.
You're welcome. I'm excited.
Yeah, we have so much to talk about, especially in the area of transformation and how creativity has a lot to do with that transformation and exploring your site, all that you offer in creativity.
It's kind of scary when you say that, Amber, because it's like, it's true. It's absolutely true that everything on that website and anywhere else, YouTube's or whatever, for myself or anybody else, is all an aspect of creativity and an expression of our essential nature. And I think anyone who's creating a website will say, is in essence, what I'm suspect and what I encourage is people to, like, what's your essential message? Who are you essentially? And how do you want that to be the expression in your website or in your books or in your paintings or whatever? So it's everywhere. So I'm really glad we're doing this today.
Me too. And I think what's often for me very eye-opening is how many people don't really take the time to understand that creative connection to the component. It's more, you know, the tactical versus the creative, and both are so necessary. But how much richer it can be when we connect that creative component to then get to the tactical. So that's why I'm really looking forward to diving in, because I don't want to misquote this, but okay, when I first landed on your website, there was something that took my heart and just made me feel hugged the moment I landed on your site. So I want to read it because it really meant that much to me. My intention for creating the site is to empower you personally and professionally so that you can intentionally and authentically become the fullest expression of your essential self. So that statement isn't about I am here and I am going to create you to be this amazing thing. It's no, this is my intention to help you do what you desire to do.
That's right. That's right.
Why? Why is that the first thing that's on your website?
Because I think that, so let me say it this way. When I'm working with people and they're working on getting their businesses up, especially coaches have a real challenging time finding their voice and their expression. I will say, what's your vision? What is it that you're aiming for in this work and whatever that work is? And, you know, people will start with, well, I want to make money, or I want this, or I want that. And when I say, well, what is that? What's the intention of that? There's a place where people come to the truth. The essential truth is, I want to make a difference in the world. I want people to feel that sense of fulfillment in their own lives. So I'm only speaking, I believe, what every single person on the planet is really wanting, is to make a difference in other people's lives, to somehow empower ourselves. I'm empowering you to empower yourself, basically. And so I think every single individual is wanting that in their, at their soul level. And so I'm just speaking what I truly believe is the truth is, hey, I want to empower you to do that. Whatever that is for you, that's what I want to empower you to do. That's how the world's going to change. That's how we're going to make a difference in the consciousness.
I could not agree more. Do you find that people resonate more when you're coming at it from that way versus, there are so many approaches, and it's not to discount one over the other, but there are many out there who it is the I first and then the you. Versus the you first. And these are the tools that I will gift to you in order for you to choose how to create your own path.
It's really the both and, in a sense, if we think, so who, you know, I talk about myself being, or my company being, a boutique firm, you know, the Paradigm Shifts Coaching Group is a boutique, because it was like the best word to describe that this is unique, that this is, for people who are looking for something that's not in the ordinary. And what I mean by that is, there's somebody, and I say this in my, when I talk about, are you interested in coaching with me, or are you interested in coach training with me? Because what I'm looking for is the person that has a knowing, and you have that knowing, because that's what's attract. It's like, that's the knowing that shows up. And so the people that are wanting to nourish the knowing, which is in our heart and our soul and our spirit, as opposed to nurturing the mental, you know, tell me how to do it. Tell me how to be a good coach. Tell me how to market myself. Tell me how to make money. Very different conversation. Certainly everyone in the knowing wants to make money, wants to make those connections. So it's the both and. But when I articulate what I articulate, I'm, you know, my resonance, if you will, is hopefully people like you will go, yes, that's what I want. Thank you very much. I'm here. I've arrived where I am seen and heard and gotten. And that's what it's all about. So some of us, I mean, we're all on incremental levels. We're like in elementary school, right? Some people are in kindergarten or first grade, and they go, just tell me how to get to from here to there. And as we grow ourselves and grow our capacities, we have greater capacities to learn and sense and be and experience at higher and higher levels of consciousness. We're up leveling ourselves constantly. So I'm open to whoever it, because I one of the things I talk about is being the invitation, right? Be the invitation, whether it's through however that is, it's an expression of your essential nature. Be the invitation through your expression, your essential, authentic, transparent nature. And that's fun for some of us, but scary for a lot of people. And it was scary for me many years ago. And it's like, here's where I'm at. And I'm wanting to be the invitation for people who are going, yeah, that's what I want, that level of wisdom or that level of clarity, that level of empowerment. So it's the both and. That's a long answer to say it's the both and.
Yeah, I love that answer, because I do very much feel in nearly everything is the and, not the or.
Yeah.
We've created a very dualistic experience here. So we do very frequently end up in the either or. Yes. Instead of finding the and the coexistence.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, beautiful answer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Other thing on your website is that creative spark. And since our focus this month is all around creativity, it isn't as though you are only a writer talking about this dualistic approach, right? Or only a coach. You have so many avenues by which you utilize creativity in your own personal way. There are these amazing paintings, and you show the artistic side of you. And you have the books that we talked about that do seem to offer various different topics that you can talk about from a very body-based, mm-hmm. how to nourish our bodies, to a very soul and etheric-based. Can you talk to us about that and how you found, even within yourself, that creative spark that lit you up in a way that you could then light others up?
Well, I like the word ignite. So that's ignite the spark. And, you know, I didn't write my first book till I was 56.
Oh, wow.
That was Self-Empowerment 101. And it's because when I was doing a coach training program, I didn't have a manual. And so it's like, I need a manual. I need something. And I felt like there was this book that wanted to get written. I got a C minus in high school and in college and in English and all that stuff. It was like, that is not my path. But I got to a point where I was inspired, and that inspiration ignited enough intentionality, or my intentionality to have some sort of a manual or book or something that's written of what I'm teaching. So the intention of that, with listening to the inspiration, came in and boom, the book got written in like 3 months. I think that was my 4 months, because I made a commitment to a fellow who wrote a book in 3 months. And I said, I'm going to do this one in 4 months. And so I wrote it 4 months, and then, but the editing and the putting it all together took about another year. But it's listening for what's the intention, and also listening for where I'm inspired. And 99.9% of what I create is inspired. I was going to show you, I don't know if this is going to work to bring this in because of the background thing, but I was inspired by this painting. I'm coming in slowly. It's a painting. I don't know if I can do it. But
it shows for a moment and then it fades in.
I wanted to, it was like, I was inspired. Like, how do you paint water from underneath? And so I saw some pictures and I kind of created this painting because I was inspired to know how to do it. I don't know if you can see it enough, but that's the top of the, you know, that's the surface. And so everything I do is I'm inspired. This thing I'm wearing on my neck is inspired knitting. And since I saw it in a knitting store and I went, I gotta make it. Do I need another scarf? No, it wasn't about that. It was about how do you do it? How do you create that? And I'm working on this painting. I don't know if I can do this, but let's see. It's a boy blowing a bubble.
Yeah.
And his mom has the photograph up behind her when we're doing our coaching sessions. She's in Denmark. And it's like, I want to know, I want to do that. Can you send it to me? So it's that inspiration. Like, I'm just intrigued by the inspiration of that. Every single one of my books is inspired. I'll have a thought. This one is called I've Arrived. Well, sort of. Whoops. There we go.
Now it's arrived.
Yeah, now it's arrived. I've arrived. Well, sort of. And it's really about those moments of where you go, I'm enlightened. I've arrived. And then the next moment, next step is like, oh yeah, no, not really. So it's a 101 different little page things of truths for me in that dilemma and that both and of I've arrived. Yeah, well, not really, you know, and all of the rest of it. So my point in saying all of that, whether it's knitting or painting or writing or coaching or the way I live my life, it's really, where am I inspired and how am I inspired? And the important part of that is that so many of us are listening to the cognitive, structural, here's what I should do, or tell me what I should do. We live in the shoulds. And I heard something from Paul Selig that says, and Paul Selig is a channel for guides, and they say, hey, when you're in a should, you are not in the divine essence of yourself. And it was like, wow, that's really powerful. So I live on Orcas Island, which is just a delightful place. And I have almost 10 acres and most of it's woods. And I, rather than, you know, cutting, mowing my lawn, you know, making it pretty, I am out in the woods making paths because I'm inspired to make paths through the woods. So I should be cleaning up my backyard, blah, blah, blah. But the inspiration is to go into the woods and clear paths so that it's just a delightful, fun experience. So that's that place of inspiration. And I think it's a place of healing. One more little story. This happened a number of years ago, but I was sort of in a dark night of the soul. It was like what I had created with my coach training in Palo Alto, California. I stopped doing that because I thought there's something bigger coming in. And so I'm going to stop doing that and make room for this other big thing to come in. And what I thought was going to come in, this big, amazing fame thing, didn't come in. And so what I was left with was this crash. And the crash was basically a dark night of the soul of a spirit, what I call a spiritual immersion process, spiritually beginning the spiritual deepening of what's true as a human being and a spiritual being. And so this took me into like really dark, and like, how do you make money and how do you do this? And what do you, all of those real challenging human dilemmas. And I got to a point, and I'm a student of the Course in Miracles as well. And there's a point where it says, I make no decisions by myself, which means I'm listening to the judgments of the shoulds. Should I do this? Should I do that? Or I'm listening to God. And how does God speak to me? But through inspiration, basically. So one day I said, okay, I'm going outside. I'm going to sit on my little couch and I'm going to stay there until I am inspired. I'm not going to move until I am inspired. And it's like, well, how do you, and then the voices start, how do you know you're inspired? How do you know when that's going to be? And how do you, what's that look like?
Mental flow. Yeah.
And there was the, look, you're not retired. You don't have the luxury to sit here and do nothing. You know, you have to make money. And it's like, I'm not going anywhere with that. I'm not going to move off the couch. As long as you're doing that, not doing it. So I sat there for probably, I mean, it feels like 3 hours. Maybe it was 20 minutes. I don't know what it was, but it was long enough that I was quiet enough that I heard, hey, I think I'll go put some water in the bird feeder or in the bird bath. That was it. I got inspired to put water in the bird bath. And you go, so what, you know, but if you're working from inspiration versus the shoulds and the mandates, now you're cultivating a relationship with yourself, with your spirit self, with your divine essential expression that's only yours. And so I was training myself to act from inspiration and get clearer and clearer and clearer. And I do it all the time in terms of, oh, I'm inspired to knit, or I'm inspired, but in terms of living your life in inspiration, that's where your own unique expression is yours as the divine coming through you. That's yours. And that's basically the long bottom line of that.
But it's so true. That personal story is so important, because half the battle is silencing the voices that tell you, you should be fitting in this way, or you should be doing this.
That's right.
And we're not clay. We're not here to be molded into what everyone else is being molded into.
Yeah.
And so I love the fact that part of the tool that you're offering is be committed enough to yourself to just sit with the voices until you can silence them enough to hear your authentic voice.
That's right. That's right. And in my coaching, let me see if I can find, oh, here it is. Quite often when people start working with me and they say, what should I do to prepare for our first session? And basically, when people come in, they go, well, I want a different career, or, well, I want to make a little more money, or I think I'd like to. And these sort of iffy, shitty thingies. Okay. So I say, I am your fairy godmother. This is my fairy godmother magic wand, available on Amazon.
I love it.
Someone gave this to me, so it's mine. But I say, I'm your fairy godmother. And as your fairy godmother, my job is to empower you to empower yourself to have whatever it is you want. So in that moment, there's a paradigm shift that occurs. And, you know, even in terms of you're lighting up, Amber, in terms of going, oh, a fairy godmother. Oh my God, I can have whatever I want. it changes from, well, I kind of want to sort of have this to, I want to live, you know, on the beach in Hawaii, or I want to go to Botswana, and, you know, whatever it is, it becomes true in the big T true. We now got inspired.
Yeah.
And I go, that's what we're talking about. And that's what I ignite in my clients every single time. If, you know, especially because it's like, what is it you want? And they go, well, and we want what we know we can have. That's the limiting, constraining beliefs. But as soon as I pull out my magic wand and I say, I'm your fairy godmother, they go, whoopee. And they get very excited and go and animated. And they go, and I want, and they get, they're in the big ignited spark inspiration place. So when we get them there, I go, okay, that's my job, is to hold that as the fairy godmother, transformational coach, to hold that for you as you go, wait a second, I got to get on the path. And how do I do that? And all that stuff. It's like, let's go back to whoopee. Let's go back to the inspiration, it's because we're continuing cultivating the capacity for that.
Yes.
And that's the fun stuff that is always part of the work that I do, is holding that, the inspiration, this is what you're wanting. And the delight and the awesomeness and the truth and the love and the kindness and compassion that comes through that moment. It doesn't have to look any certain way, but the expression, it's the expression of that is what happens. So it's really fun that way.
And it changes the whole frequency. It changes that. Like when you're in joy, it's so much easier to create anything.
That's right.
You feel pushed down, it's a little harder. You're drudging through quicksand.
That's right. That's right. And whenever we're creating, you know, this picture of this little child with this bubble gum piece, it's not right. You know, I want to send it off to his mom because I told her it's just a gift. It's like, I wanted to do it just for fun. And I want to send it to her, but it's like, the eye isn't right. I haven't got the eye right yet. And it's like, I can go into failure, like, blah, 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 this is terrible, horrible. I should give it up. Or go, okay, I want to know how that eye actually is. I want to know. And you begin to have a relationship with your creations. And that's what the creative expressive thing is. We're having a relationship with creativity. We're having a relationship with ourselves. This is a byproduct. I just was reading that in the Course in Miracles today, that creativity there's no means and ends. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. I can send it to this person and they go, yeah, whatever. And that, you know, it ends up underneath, you know, the bed or whatever. But to me, and that's all it is our creation is about me in relationship to this experience. Mm-hmm. It's the experience that I'm having in this, as opposed to I'm painting a picture or I'm writing a book and the intention is to write the book or, you know, get money for my book or whatever that is, or to wear a scarf and keep it warm. It's like, yeah, no, that's not what's happening in the moment. And so I have to distinguish that so that my desire for money doesn't get in the way of writing a book. And that has always been my experience. When I wrote Self-Empowerment 101, the first book, I committed to my friend, I will write the book. It had nothing to do with sell the book or that somebody would buy it, whatever. I will write the book. And that's number one. So everything has been that versus, oh, I think I'll make money. And my sister says, your paintings are so wonderful, you can make $1 million on Etsy. And I go, yeah, no, that's not what this is about. If I make $1 million, that's great. But I can't operate from that and never have been able to operate from that. Some people can, and that's really exciting for them, but that's not what it is for me. Mine is, what's that experience? What happens inside you when you are in the midst of that expression of self, right? And it's a dilemma because it's like, oh, what if I fail? You know, what if this painting sucks? You know, I send it and the son, this guy goes, oh my God, that's a terrible, horrible. I hope I don't look. It's like, it's my experience. That's all that this means is it's my experience. And it can be delightful or it can be exhausting and you know, full of self deprecation.
That you learn through it. And do you find for you that through creation, you're expanding your consciousness, that you're always growing, always evolving, no matter what that experience is?
Yes, I can say that. And that feels, for me, it feels really big. Like somebody who wants to start somewhere, where do I start? You know, and it's like, well, go to Toys R Us. I don't even know if that's available anymore, but go and see what inspires you, or Michaels, what inspires you? My grandson, who's now 11, he loved when we went to Michaels, these little structures, these house things. And he goes, I want to paint that. And so rather than going, no, I want you to paint on paper, it's like, no, I want to paint that. So we got it, because that's what lit him up. Or people who like to do railroad train models, or people who like to sculpture with chainsaws. It doesn't matter. Or face paint, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just a matter of going, this is what lights me up. When I was sailing, so I sailed across the Atlantic Ocean when I was 42, I think it was. And then when I was in California working on my PhD, I taught sailing on the San Francisco Bay. Now, I am not an intrepid adventurer. I was terrified because it's windy and blowy all the time and scary for me. And it's like, why am I doing this? Why? This is, you know, but I was doing it because I was inspired to do it. I was staying in that place of, this is mine to do. I don't understand, but it's mine to do. And then I got to a point where I was like, you know, God is sailing through me. God is wanting the experience of sailing through me, having this experience. Now God is sailing, the divine is sailing through everyone who's sailing. But in terms of my owning that, it helped ground me into something different than that head thing. Like, why am I trying to paint when I don't, or why am I trying to grow garden, or why am I, it's like, just get out of the way and see what wants to show up.
Like flowing versus fighting.
Exactly.
Where are you going to spend your energy?
That's right. And it's like, I think, well, why would I want to do why would anyone want to do a model of a little car? Like, what, you know, what good is, and it's like, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's my judgments and my thoughts, but it's like, there is love and an intentional presence. And I think that's a big word here. We bring presence to the experience that we're having in the moment. Can't be anywhere else. Yeah. And that can be such a healing, we call it healing or therapeutic process for ourselves to go, I'm just going to knit, or I'm just going to work on this eye, and the rest of the world goes away. And we have this moment of clarity and actual healing. Our body is healing itself when we are in the presence of the presence, basically.
Yeah. Connected so, and focused.
But it's like, what's mine to do? Crochet one little thing at a time. Okay. That's what there is to do, without going, yeah, but I, you know, when am I going to, you know, when am I going to make that sweater? It's like, yeah. I don't know.
But the beauty about crocheting, it's a wonderful example of each loop is a step. And eventually, yes, step by step, it creates that beautiful scarf you have around your neck.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be created if you didn't take each step to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I
heard someone call it slow fashion versus fast fashion, you know, versus, and it's the slow, and it's, you know, some people are, I knit for, in a sense, the process of the knitting and what shows up, versus somebody else, it's all about the product, get it done, get it done, get it done. So it's just what it is for you is what it is for you. And that's the challenge of expressive arts of any sort. Is like, well, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I don't, and it's like all that stuff to go, okay, just, it's all good. You know,
take a step. Now I do want to ask this question, because our show goes out to a lot of countries where English is a second language and not a first.
Okay.
So if somebody isn't familiar with the word paradigm shift, or the phrase paradigm shift, can you take a moment and explain why you call your website The Paradigm Shift?
The Paradigm Shifts. So I think for me, being a fairy godmother is the perfect example. Okay. When people say, here's the logical, rational world, there's no miracles. There's nothing beyond the ordinary, basically. Okay. But as soon as I pull out my magic wand and I say, I'm your fairy godmother, boom, something shifts. And we are now in the world of magic, in essence, or miracles, or wonder, and delight, and inspiration, and sparks. We're in this different orientation. Now, our consensus view of reality is fear-based, 99% of the time. It is fear-based. Our consensus reality is fear-based. That's a paradigm. That's the water we swim in constantly. Okay. The other paradigm is what we would consider a spiritual paradigm, the place where there's no fear. And so the paradigm shifts requires us, the paradigm shifts is the action in a sense of shifting the paradigm to one of essence based and where fear doesn't exist. In all spiritual principles of all spiritual traditions, there is no fear. The mystical experience that the founder had 99% of the time, as far as I know, is one of no fear, only love. Okay. So when people are trying to create their reality from the old paradigm, from fear, they're always going to be structuring and struggling with, yes, but what if? And we go, let's create from no fear. Let's create from your essential nature, from your expression of, I want to create. Not only do I want to fly in it. I make this stuff up all the time. Not only do I want to fly in an air balloon, but I want to make the air balloon. I want to make it the colors I want. That's what I want. Okay, great. And you can see the uplifting that occurs just in that there's no fear. There's just the truth of this is what I want to create. And quite often people will go, yeah, but, and then they'll slide back in. One of the things I've created, Amber, is on YouTube. It's called Inward Bound Bootcamp for Self-Transformation. And so I mentioned that because part of what we do is in step number one, it's 20 short videos and there's a workbook now. But there's the first video is like, what is it you want? And again, I pull out the magic wand. And we create that, yeah, that's what I want. And then the second step is seeing where we go, yes, but what if and if onlys, because those are based on, now we're back in the old paradigm, fear-based. What if I don't make it? What if I fail? What if somebody rejects me? What if? And now we're creating from invulnerability. Yeah. And that's what our normal paradigm is trying to stay invulnerable to failure, to death, to annihilation, to all that stuff. And we have to shift to this paradigm of no fear.
Yes. And holding love.
Yeah. And it's a big one. And we can, and people go, oh yeah, I totally get that. But, and they want to go back in there. And so quite often in my work and with when I'm training coaches, I say, look, we have a commitment to create this air balloon and I'm going to fly in my air balloon. I have a commitment to that. At the same time, I have a conflicting commitment to staying safe and invulnerable to failure. So we have these two paradigms, if you will, which creates a dilemma. I want this. My hands are mirrored, so I can't, but I want to create this balloon and go flying. And I want to stay safe and make sure I don't fail. So we have these two conflicting commitments. And it's a dilemma now, which one, how do I struggle with? But I want this and I want this. And it's like I think we can do this for ourselves, but with a coach, that coach can go, okay, let's talk about this. We're not going to problem solve here. We're not going to, you know, I'm not going to advise you do this and don't do that. I'm going to have a conversation so you can really see and express the truth of this, what it's like to be in this air balloon that you're going to create and what it's like to be in this fear based, clenchy, scary place. And how do you choose? How do you choose? You know, when I choose to, you know, finish this painting or not, how do I choose? Because it's like, oh God, I just want to throw it out and start over. It's like, yeah, no, that doesn't get me closer to that sense of fulfillment that I'm wanting when I see what I'm wanting to create, when I see my balloon flying, right? Yeah. I want that. I want to know what that's like. So that's a stronger, so I'm going to move in the direction of that. And I want to move my clients in the direction of that. Because we're all in that sense of invulnerability. We want to stay safe and we want to have what we want to have because that's what we came here to create because we're creators. We're creating here, regardless of whether it's a thing or through the expression of our essential nature in the world, we're here to create.
And how amazing that you're being the example as well to your clients. And to me, that speaks volumes too, because it's very easy to talk about it, but to be a living expression of it, to be vulnerable enough to talk about, hey, I struggle with this too. I may not feel like I desire to finish this painting, but I desire the knowing of what it's like to experience painting this eye that I'm struggling with. Beautiful. So I'm going to go into it and I'm going to do it. And to me, that adds that whole level of authenticity of, I do this myself. I am not perfect. I'm not claiming to be perfect. I am a guide because I walk this path and I know what it's like every day. And I will help you navigate yours too.
That's right. And people, and I just love what you're saying. And people go, yeah, but what if I fail? Or what if you don't get that right? And it's like, well, then I get to be with that. I get to be with my humility. I get to be with my humbling. I'm with that part that wants to beat me up and say, you should stop doing this. And I can be with that part and make a choice. So I get to be with a whole bunch, not because, oh, I've done this well, or as my sister says, oh, you'll make millions of dollars. It's like, no, it's about this experience with myself and the humility and the humblingness of even doing something that's wonderful. There's humility in that, not like, wow, isn't this just a great scarf? And yeah, it's awesome. And no, it's like, oh my God, I'm humbled by what has occurred because of this, you know, or the painting or the books, or I'm humbled by it. So there's so much in the experience. So I really appreciate what you just said. Because that's what we're here to have, is that experience, versus we're here to have only the successes and work towards success. And it's like, well, I call it fulfillment versus success, fulfillment of our human spirit. We know the difference. Success quite often happens up here. Fulfillment is like, oh my God, that was just awesome.
And I love that you point to your heart, because that is in truth too. We talk at least in Suivera here, we talk so much about the heart, because we have been so focused for so long on the mind. Yes. And it's such an important thing. It's not to discount the mind. We can't do that at forgetting how important the heart is and the feel is and our intuition that kind of comes from that space as well.
That's right.
So there's feel part of it that you feel fulfilled through here. Like there's just this opening that happens.
That's right.
And at the end of this life, we're not going to take millions of dollars with us. We're going to take our experiences with us and the soul growth we had. So that is the treasure. And how amazing you recognize that.
And that's my intention with every client, is that you get to have that experience. When a person comes, let's say for the second or third session or whatever, every session is like, what did you notice? Through the week, what did you notice? So that they cultivate the awareness of, oh, I noticed how I said I would do this, but I didn't. Okay, great. Great that you noticed that. And you know, let's talk about that. It's not like, oh, you're accountable and you didn't do it and you're a bad person, but it's like, you chose not to do that. Isn't that fascinating? You said you want to create this balloon and you stayed in your bedroom and played solitaire every day. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating? And in that process, people go, wow, yeah, That is fascinating. I am fascinating. And they become more engaged with the experiences they have, the choices of what they make, and how those choices move them towards what they want or move them towards more safety and security and stability. And they watch that and they become more enamored with themselves in a good way, like watching that and going, yeah, I said I really want to make this balloon, but I didn't even go on Google to see how I could do that. Like, fascinating.
Yeah. Observe behaviors. Yeah.
You know, if I don't acknowledge my fear of failure and my fear of, you know, and the humility is one thing, but the humiliation, you know, if I send this to those people and they don't like it, I'm going to be humiliated. Right. And so being with that dilemma and being torn by that, if I don't talk about that, and if I don't acknowledge that, then I'm not acknowledging the truth of the dilemma for every human being that we're in this dilemma of, I don't want to be humiliated. It's like, I totally get it. Yeah. And is that more important than actually moving in the direction of what you say you want?
Yes.
It's just a question. Is that more important? It might be a hell yes. That's more important. It's like, okay, great. I'll coach you to that. And I'll coach you to let go of this dream. I say that to people and they go, no. I want that. It's like, okay. And there's this back and forthness about it, this dilemma that we're working with of how do we choose to just take an incremental step towards that courage and towards letting go of our attachment to humiliation? How do we do that? And every single human being is in that process. So I can't come at this as an expert. Oh yeah, I'm done. But because every single thing I create, I'm working on a sweater, and it's like, you know, because it's not like, oh, I have it so together that this just magically, transforms into a sweater. It's like, no, I'm in the process always of the engagement of what's showing up. So if I'm an expert at that, yeah, no, that's not going to be helpful to people who really need to be present to that dilemma of the difference between how do I be in it when I'm afraid of the humiliation of this.
And I think that that's so important. And what we've been trained societally to look for is someone who is a master, someone who is an expert. But in this field, that can actually be detrimental to a person's growth. Because ultimately, if someone is claiming to be a master, or claiming, and they very well may be, not to take away from that, but if they have reached that point, then are they continuing their own growth process in order to keep those skills honed in a way that they can continue to pass them on? Yep. And so it's important for someone, as they're looking for their coach, someone that will they need to trust to guide them along their journey, to really consider that as they're looking.
Yeah. And I consider myself a master. I consider myself a true artist in terms of this art form called transformational coaching. I'm working on an online course of mastering the fundamentals of transformational coaching and master level coaching courses. And the intention is to teach this, right? Uh-huh. Not teach, we're going to teach you how to be. It's like this humility and this presence and this truth and this transparency and the rawness. That's what I'm wanting to cultivate in coaches, because we can't support other people if we're trying to get them someplace that we ourselves aren't willing to go. It's not going to work, and it doesn't work.
So if someone wants to find out about these courses that you're creating or have created, or what you have available, you had mentioned YouTube, we've mm-hmm. mentioned a website. Can you provide kind of the places that individuals can go to? And we will underneath this video as well, but just for quick mention.
Okay. So YouTube, Dr. Rosie Kuhn of The Paradigm Shifts, there's like 300 videos there. And some of it is the boot camp on self-transformation. Some of it's on recovery or small business dilemmas, parenting. So all kinds of fun stuff there. My website is called theparadigmshifts.com. and you'll find all kinds of blogs there and other fun things. Fineartamerica.com is where my artwork lives. So you can buy little pieces and prints and things like that if it's of interest. So fineartamerica.com for prints and things like that. Books on Amazon, but you'll see all of that as well on my website. It's all sort of there as a starting point. And if you just Google Dr. Rosie Kuhn, K-U-H-N, or just Rosie Kuhn, I'm going to come up because I got a lot of stuff there. In terms of the coaching, I train people. Right now, I'm training people on a one-to-one basis. So we do that because it's a twofer. You get coached and you're learning to be a coach at the same time. So that's a really fun way of working with people. I trained people in groups for about 10 years while I was in Palo Alto, but now I do it this way. And this course I'm creating online will be, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months out yet, because it's still in the stages, but I'm really excited just to have a clarity of that focus and availability to people on. And also, like, on YouTube, there's something called Becoming a Transformational Coach, and there's 36 2-minute videos. So if you're wanting to know what the process is, it's 2 minutes, 36 videos of becoming a transformational coach. This is what I do. This is how I do it. So it's all there.
That's amazing. You offer so much just freely as well. So thank you for gifting individuals so much content just out of the kindness of your heart.
Thank you. And it's part of one of those principles of, you know, it's like part of getting clear for ourselves is, what are the principles that are important to you? What are your highest principles in the world? And we talk about, oh, you know, the divine is always supporting us and prosperity is always here and you got to give it away. And people say that, but they don't actually do it because they're afraid, right?
Yes.
And so when we're afraid, it's not, you know, and anything we do out of fear is, it's not going to support you in growing and designing and creating that balloon and flying off in it. It's going to keep you limited. So I have to keep practicing the stuff that's really, really hard, scary. You know, it's like, well, how am I going to make money? And am I going to make enough money? And all of those things. It's like, I don't know. Truly, I don't know. I'm 70 years old and I have, you know, a limited amount of money in a sense coming in. And I'm not like, oh my God, she's wealthy beyond. It's like, I don't know if the money's going to show up the way that I would like it to. I don't know, but I'm doing what's in my heart. I'm doing what's in my, in aligning to my highest truth, my highest knowing, my highest contribution. And the practice of that is a constant, wow, right? The unknown. And that's every time we're creating, every time we go into a creative moment, whether I'm, you know, clearing a path in the woods or creating, you know, I don't know what the outcome is. And our willingness to be in the, I don't know, but this is the truth for me. I'm going to follow and align myself with my highest truth. Now, that's all we're here to do, is to grow those muscles of staying aligned with our highest truth. I get off track. It's like, oh my God, I'm so scared about it. It's like, yeah, okay. And then get myself back online. It's like binging, right? It's like an alcoholic who falls off the wagon. It's like most of us are so addicted to fear and worry that we can't align ourselves with our highest knowing. And this is part of, you know, what you're providing, Amber, is this platform where people can go, yeah, that fear thing. No, I want to know my heart. I want to know the resonance of that. I want to know what that feels like. I want to grow that capacity. So your work is aligning people to that awareness, and then they can step into it any way they want to.
Thank you for recognizing. I sincerely appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet.
And with your work, the books, I would really like to touch on those in the time that we have left, because there is such a depth of knowledge that you've made available through these books.
Thank you.
I took a look through all of the write-ups and summaries that you had available on your website and out on Amazon. So if you can just give kind of a high-level overview. Obviously, we probably can't get into all 14 in the few minutes that we have left, but we can at least touch base on them and give folks an idea of what they could receive from getting these books.
So every one of them has been, in a sense, a download, as opposed to, oh, I wrote this book and it's really great. It's like, no, these are downloads. The first one I wrote, that there's four of these books. I think this is number four of this series. The first one was called You Know You're Transforming When. And they're all very small books with tiny little writings, maybe a couple of paragraphs each. But they're just little things of truth, if you will, that I believe is a universal truth for most of us. So the You Know You're Transforming When, it wrote itself in like 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
3 hours, I'll say, without exaggeration. Okay. It just, there it is.
Straight through.
Came through. And the same with this, in terms of this on the back, it says the path to enlightened living is not drawn out of right in front of us. And it does not miraculously appear overnight. And so it's like, this is about that path of enlightenment that we're on. And every single one of us gets to these moments of realization. Oh my God, I've arrived. And then, oh yeah, that's right. You know, and we move on. And so every single one of them has that sense of humanness, which is so important. If I'm going to read something, that's gotta be the essence of it, is that human humility, humbling, but the truth and the ability to laugh and be in wonder about ourselves. So every single book basically has that to it. There's four of these kinds of things. And I've written a couple books on children, cultivating spirituality in children, or parenting like a guru. And all of them is based on what's true for me. And how does that work for me? And how is that? Because what I think my intention is to come to that universal human experience that we're all having, and that I'm not an exception. And rarely is there an exception. And people might go, oh no, I didn't have that experience. It's like, no, you might not have had that specific circumstance, but there's something that's coming through that may be universal. So I think every single one of my books has that universalness to it. So whether it's one book I wrote of this series is called Me, capital M-E, which is stands for miraculous existence. So Me stands for miraculous existence. And it's 101 insights, pearls of wisdom I didn't get from therapy. Because there was a moment where I went, you know, I didn't get this, what I was in, from therapy. I trained to be a therapist and was a therapist for a long time. But in that therapy, I didn't get this, and I didn't get this, and I didn't get this, and I didn't get this. So I wrote, again, another download. Here are the things I didn't get from therapy, but are so important in terms of our spiritual evolution, and our and not spiritual in terms of, but the human spirit evolution. So every single one of those of my books have that sense of what's the truth in my divine humanness. And how do I express that in a way that's authentic and transparent and clear and hopefully of value to other people?
And you have aging in there, how to age.
Aging like a guru.
Yes, in a very wise way and in a very graceful way. How to feed your body.
Diet like a guru, yep.
And so there's a book for everyone, no matter where you are. And we always call that finding a point of entry, mm-hmm. right? No matter where we are in our life, there's always somewhere that we can find a little support. So what's our point of entry? What do we need right now? And you really have covered that plethora of, all right, it could be here, it could be here, it could be here. I can meet you wherever you are. And then walk with you, not drag you, not carry you, but walk with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a key element.
Yeah.
So we mentioned fear and where humanity is with fear overall. Would you say that that is one of the largest factors we're facing as humanity right now one of our greatest growth opportunities? Or do you see other growth opportunities, not just individually, but as a collective? I know this is a big question, but as someone who has that creative spark and that observer mentality, you know, there are ways not just individually, but collectively we could grow. Do you have any insight on that?
I think it's so easy to fall into the pit of fear and anxiety and panic, especially with stuff is happening right now. And it's not as if that fear wasn't there, because it's been part of our collective human consciousness as long as we've been around because of survival thoughts and all those things. But when we realize that that's not, it's the Einstein thing, we can't solve the problems with the same thinking that created it. We can't create more fear-based processes to fix the problem. We have to up-level to something else. So being aware of the fear, being aware that that's in a sense our small self or less developed self that is in survival, and that there's a part of every single one of us. That's why I write the way I do, is because I know there's a part in every single one of us that knows what I'm talking about, that is in that knowing, that's in the knowing. And so when we can pull ourselves out of that fear mucky stuff and go, wait a second, how can I see this differently? Then we grow towards love. We grow towards something that does not abide in fear. It's a huge practice because we're so, all of us, not all 99% of us have been trained that we have to be afraid. And when we go, okay, wait, that is what this paradigm says, but the paradigm of my spiritual traditions, the paradigm of my godly wisdom says there's no fear. How do I cultivate and grow that? And it's very challenging because it's like, wait, you know, we can fall into the pit of fear so easily. And because it's in the air, right? It's a vibrational frequency that sweeps through. And somebody says something to me and I go, oh God. And now I'm all of a sudden, I'm out. And I go, okay, I got to pull myself back up into this state of something other than fear, if I'm wanting to make a difference in the world. So if we want to make a difference in the world, we have to train ourselves to think differently, to think outside the box of fear and, you know, the right and the wrongness of so much of the controversies in the world. Right, wrong, somebody's going to get somebody, like the Roe versus Wade, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And it doesn't matter who that is, right? Or Democrats, or somebody is right and somebody's wrong. And now we're always in this. And how do we up level? And most of us will go, ah, it's too much. I'm going to go have a glass of wine and watch some YouTube or Netflix. You know, it's like too much. I can't. But we have to go, wait, there's something I can do here that's different. How do I do that? What's my entry point? How do I find that moment of that spark? And recently I've heard a number of times is, what do you enjoy? Rather than going, well, how do I fix the world? It's like, go enjoy something, whether it's a glass of wine or your child's company or being creative. What do you enjoy? When I was sitting in my chair and there was a reflection in my desktop of the world behind me. And it was like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. So when we can bring the beauty in, when we can bring joy in, that is a shift in consciousness. That's easy, right?
Yes.
That's easy. Have a hot dog. I love hot dogs. So it's like, have a hot dog and thoroughly enjoy it, or my cup of coffee in the morning. And in that moment, you can consciously share it with the world, or just go, yum, I am just in this place of wonder and wonder in this beauty of this coffee or whatever that is. That changes the vibration in the world. And you don't have to believe that in terms of, oh yeah, I know that. Are people so, yeah, I know that, but we have to actually practice it. So we don't have to do any big ohms or learn anything new. Just enjoy your life, have fun. And that flies too in the face of so many religions. Like, no, there's people that are suffering. I should feel guilty. It's like, yeah, no, try this just because what else can you do? try enjoying your life and being that a gift to the world, and just see what happens. If nothing else, you're feeling better. You're enjoying yourself. You're bringing more joy to the world because your children might be around you or the other people around you. And they go, wow, you're kind of nice to be around right now. And we make a difference that way. So it doesn't have to be any big fixing, healing, converting. Just enjoy your life. And in a sense, if you can be grateful for that, just because if you can, maybe you can. Doesn't matter.
Example of joy.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Be the example of joy.
Be the example of joy, or be the example of contentment, or be the example of not grumpy. You know, like some people are like, hey, I don't even know how to be around people that aren't bitchy. It's like, okay, see if you can be a little less bitchy today.
Yes.
There's a statistic that says 70 to 80% of our thoughts are negative in nature.
Yeah.
So if that's true and you go, hell no, not doing that. It's like, okay, so how do you start that process of being less negative?
Unraveling that negative brain bias, make it happen.
Yeah. Just say, okay, I'm going to watch myself and see when I'm thinking negative thoughts. Excellent. Yay. Right.
Yeah.
And if you go from 80 to 79, you have made a big, huge difference for yourself. And if you go from 80 to 67, imagine how your life is going to feel if you feel 13% less negative. So we're not talking about big therapeutic processes that people need a coach for. It's like, just see if you want to be negative 80% of the time or more, that's what you're choosing. Okay. High five. Okay. And if you, for me, it was like, hell no. When I heard that, it was like a hell no. I can change my thinking,
yeah. Right?
I can change my thinking to think more happy thoughts. By just going, oh, I love this microphone in front of me, or I love the butt, you know, or I, you know, just something less than something different than it's like, oh, I should have my scarf on different. It's like, yeah, no, it's okay the way it is. Whatever that is that's not negative, we can watch that and see it and we can choose differently. Bada bing, bada boom, right?
And what great parting wisdom. So much of it today. Thank you so, so much for being here and just sharing all of this. And individuals who are watching in our community, thank you. If you would like to explore all that she has available on her site, Dr. Rosie Kuhn, you can go to The Paradigm Shifts with an S on the end of that.com. It can be the starting point, the launch pad, to get to everything else that this amazing soul has available for you. So much free content and her coaching services. You can also learn more about those out there as well. I highly encourage you to take just a moment to explore because there is so much fantastic information. I learned a lot in the time that I spent out on her YouTube and out on her website. So very grateful to have her here today and very grateful to have you here too. I am your host, Amber, here at the Heart Leader Podcast. And until next time, we look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
You've been listening to the Heart Leader Podcast with your host, Amber, where heart and mind align. Tune in weekly on TransformationTalkRadio.com as we take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. Ready to take the next step? Join us and over 1 million people worldwide who've united in creating this global movement of love. Become a heart leader for today and tomorrow. Learn more and connect with us at suivera.org.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.